I am going to ask you to stand once again as you are able. If you can't stand, just put your hand over your heart. As I read to you the 51st Psalm, this is the Psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing heart and spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God, and O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to bring a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right and sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls shall be offered on your altar. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Last week we talked about a guy named David, a guy that did not spend time wasted in moaning and groaning. He went before the Lord and said, Lord, you've seen what has happened. The Amalekites have come and they have taken away our wives and our children, and they've taken away all our stuff, and they've burned our town, and they're gone. And the Lord said, well, go get it back. And David and his men went and took it back. They took back what was stolen from them, just like we're supposed to take back what the devil steals from us. And this man of faith is now king. David is now the king. This great warrior who knocked down Goliath when he was just a lad. This man who was moral and just and followed God and listened and always went before God before he did anything. He said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? So that he would never do the wrong thing. And the Lord has blessed him and allowed him to become the great leader who unified 12 tribes into one great kingdom. But then there was a problem. He's been blessed. He's been given so much. And then he took his ease. David, one day when kings were supposed to be going out to war, when he sent his army out but did not go with them as their head, as he should have done, he sent them all and he just stayed in his palace. And one day he was up on his roof and he saw a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. And he found out that she was someone's wife. But he sent for her. King sends, you come. There's not a lot of debate about that. And he slept with her.
this one who had it all. There was nothing wrong, by the way, with him being on his roof, except that wasn't where he's supposed to be. Don't ever be where you're not supposed to be. Say that with me. Don't ever be where you're not supposed to be. Because even if it's not necessarily a bad place, if that's not where you're supposed to be, something liable to happen. Because anytime you are where you're not supposed to be, you're probably going to end up looking at something you shouldn't look at, and that just almost always leads you to doing something you ought not do. If you go where you shouldn't go and look at what you ought not look at, you're going to do what you shouldn't do. And that's exactly what David did. This great man stole another man's wife, and when she was pregnant and he couldn't cover that up, he sent that man into the heat of battle, withdrew the soldiers that were around him so that he was killed, just the same as if he'd shot him. He murdered a man and stole his wife. This good man, this great man, this wonderful leader did that. Good people do bad stuff, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if only bad people did bad stuff? But good people do bad stuff. I would say the people in this room are good people. There's not one of us who hadn't done some bad stuff. You know, stuff that, you know, we would rather not just announce. But the difference between King David and King Saul was King Saul never confessed his sin and continued down the path. David, did you hear in the first reading today, what did David say? I have sinned against God. First thing he said, I have sinned. We need to be making confession of our sin. You know, sometimes as we pray, and all, you know, in that whole list of things that we want God to do, we throw in there, and forgive us, you know, our trespasses. Sometimes you need to just get a little more specific than that. Face up and tell the truth. It's not like God doesn't know it, but you need to face up. It's kind of like when you were a kid and your parents knew what you did. They knew. But they would make it impossible, just impossible, for you to keep that hidden. That my, I don't know, you know, your parents may have just confronted you directly. Mine made me grovel in mortification. I mean, they would act like they didn't know until I had to confess. I'm one of those people now, I have grown up confessing. I have to confess if I do something. I can't wait to confess it. I've got to tell. If I did something accidentally, I've got to confess it right away. If I did something on the job that, you know, messed things up, not necessarily, you know, doing something bad, but, you know, what I did was the wrong thing to do and it created a problem, and, oh man, I got to tell that right away. When I worked for the University of Tennessee, my boss was in, she was in Italy, and I messed something up. Not irretrievably, but it was a big problem that I made because we were writing grants. And I messed this one up. I did. I messed it up. And I couldn't tell her because she was in Italy. And I was talking to her every day, but, you know, what good would it do? It would just have her all upset, and she couldn't do anything about it in Italy. So I decided that I would have to wait until she got home. About kill me. She didn't get in the office door until I said, I've got to talk to you. I mean, I had to tell her. I knew she was going to be upset. I knew she was going to be upset with me, but I had to get that off my chest. I had to confess what I'd done. I had to tell the truth. But it's not enough to tell the truth. Tell the whole truth. Yeah, I know that was bad. And move on. Tell the whole truth. Don't leave anything out. It's not like God doesn't know anyway. All right? It's for us. It's for our benefit. Tell the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. He don't want to hear your excuses. Yeah, Lord, I sinned, but I had a really good reason. I just had a really good reason to do it. Right? Because we never do anything we can't justify. We justify it in our own little mind. Put that aside. Don't try to justify breaking God's law. Don't try to say, you know, well, okay, Lord, yeah, I know I broke your law, but I figured this time you wouldn't really mind. Nothing but the truth. I always wanted, when I was doing prison ministry, I always wanted somebody just to come up and say, yeah, I did it. It was wrong. I knew it was wrong when I did it. Never heard that, by the way. I've heard, yeah, it was wrong, and I know it was wrong, but I had a really good reason. I always heard the really good reason. Tell nothing but the truth. And then repent. Say that word. Repent. It's not just being sorry. Repent is turning around and saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. With God's help. And most of the time with, you know, stuff that we repeatedly do, we need God's help. We need God's help to just, you know, to stop. Or we get caught in what, I think it was one of the Stanleys. I can't remember. I think it was Andy, not Charles. But he called it the 1 John 1:9 loop. Remember 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive the sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then you confess it again. And then you confess it again. And then you confess it again. That's not repentance. Repentance means you stop. You don't do it anymore. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if you do it again, that, well, I, you know, forget it. It's not like a diet. Okay? Speaking as one who has dieted all my life, to virtually no avail, you see it like this. You know, you've gone all week being good. And then that pizza calls to you. And you say, I'm going to get that, but I'm only going to eat one slice. Liar. I'm just going to eat one slice. So you sit down and eat half a pizza. And then the next day you eat a quarter ice cream because, hey, I've already blown it anyway. Right? Know what I'm talking about? The women are all going, men say, what does it matter? But women are going, yeah, I get that. That's what we do with sin. You know, we're trying in our own power to walk the narrow way, that we're trying to be in good relationship with God, in good relationship with our fellow people, and we're working on that, and we fall. We fall. Maybe we even did the same thing again. But you repent and say, and maybe it'll be longer before you do it again. Maybe you won't do it again. But you can't just give up and say, well, I've already messed up. Why bother? Because God will help us to not sin. And then we ask and accept forgiveness. Forgiveness and cleansing comes. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It comes. Accept it. There's usually two things that happen. Either people just blow off stuff and say, well, you know, humans will be humans. God understands that, and they don't pay any attention to their sin, or they let that sin eat them up. You can't do that. You're actually insulting God when you do not accept forgiveness. I've had people tell me that the things that they have done, I've had people actually tell me this, the things that I have done are so bad that God can't forgive them. Well, you know what you're saying? I'm more powerful than God. I'm more powerful than God, because if I can sin something that God can't forgive, I must be more powerful than He is. See what I'm saying? Talk about blasphemy. No, when you ask and take that forgiveness, accept it. When you ask for it, accept it. And don't let your failures ruin your whole life. Don't dwell on them. Don't say, well, you know, that's what I did. Accept the forgiveness. Accept the cleansing. And understand that when you rise up, that you are new. You're a new person. You're just brand new. It's a clean slate. There is, however, a bit of bad news. There are natural consequences to some of the things that we do. And natural consequences, we're still going to have to deal with. We are free. We are cleansed. We are forgiven. But that half a pizza is still on my hips. And our sin is still something that has to be dealt with. You know, things still happen as consequence of our sin. The good news is we don't face those consequences alone. You know, it'd be one thing if, you know, God says, well, you're forgiven, but, you know, you're tossed out of the boat, you're on your own. He doesn't do that. God never, ever, ever leaves us alone. Yeah, there's probably going to be consequence to the things that we do. If we have said something we shouldn't have said and lost a friend, we may not get that friend back. That's a consequence. If we've messed up in our marriage, that marriage may be over. It might be. There might be nothing you can do about that. But it's all forgiven. But there's still that consequence. You see what I'm saying? But you don't face that consequence alone. The Lord God is right there to strengthen you and to give you peace and to say, yeah, well, you know, I created this mess, but I'm walking through it to the other side. And the consequence will be okay. It'll be all right. Because I'm not alone. And this is the part we forget the most often. Even if we get the confession part right, even if we tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if we have asked and accepted forgiveness, don't just stand up and go on your merry way, because the natural thing that happens is you should take the time to worship. Worship the God who has made you new. Worship the God who has set you free from whatever was binding you. Worship the God that has made you a better person. That's one of the things about our consequences. I have learned a lot from my consequences. Haven't you? Haven't you learned from your consequences? If you had no consequences, would you really learn? No, you just figure you had a free ride. No, I've learned so much from my consequences, and I worship and thank God for them. I worship him that he has set me free. It's just natural. It's just natural. Be free and worship the one that set you free. Because if we follow this example, if we follow the example of David, the one who is called after his fall, so to speak, a man after God's own heart, then that's what we can be. Men and women after God's own heart. Because it's not that we don't ever mess up. It's that we don't hide it. We confess it. We repent it. And we worship. That's what makes us different. Not that we don't sin. Not that we don't continue. Sometimes we do it deliberately. Sometimes we just make mistakes. Sometimes Christians just aren't Christians. What makes us different is that we follow the heart of God, confess, and repent. So we're going to take just a minute. I am not going to ask anybody to confess out loud. You know, I don't necessarily want to know what you did. But I just think that we ought to take a few minutes, don't you? Let's not say, you know, I think I'll do that this afternoon. No, let's just do it right now while you're thinking about it, okay? Let's just do it right now. Let's just take, Jerry, I know you've got all kinds of stuff to repent, but you're going to have to do it a little bit later. I would like for you to just play something soft. Yeah, he'll do it. He said he'd do his this afternoon. Yeah. He's just going to play, and I just want us to, we can take a minute, right? Not in that big of a hurry. Let's just take a minute, and let's just everybody bow your head, and let's just spend a little time with God. Let's just spend a little time. Some of y'all are like me, you need a little more time. But let me just say this. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Say it back to me, I need to hear it too.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.